Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing good. It feels like it's been ages since I've seen or spoken to you, Josh.
Yeah, 8 days. You went to New Orleans this week.
Yeah,
New Orleans.
Yeah. So I have, apparently I have great luck FPL-wise with plane travel. So the last time I was on a plane was during the season was coming back from Scotland. It was right at the start of game week 2, and I ended up getting, I think, 43 points from Manchester United.
Right. Captain's lots on, Luke Shaw.
Yeah, Luke Shaw assist, clean sheet, David De Gea in there. And so as I'm waiting in the airport this past weekend to come home from New Orleans, we're going to say New Orleans like a different way, I think, every time I say it. The whole Alonso thing was unfolding.
Right. So amazing.
I think I just have to take a bus to the airport every game week from now on.
Yeah. It was always possible for Alonso to have a game like that. But 2-1, I mean, what I actually thought when he scored the second goal, besides the fact that I was completely screwed not having Alonso, being completely screwed was the first thought that entered my head, actually. The second thought was, it's amazing that people don't get two goals in a clean sheet more often. I mean, given how many defenders there are out there who have some scoring prowess, you'd think that just occasionally, you know. I mean, Leighton Baines is like the likeliest candidate because he's on penalties. But
right, yeah.
Just in general, you'd think, you know, a defender. I mean, I know it's happened before, but it doesn't happen very often. And certainly not among a player that's owned by that many people. You know, I don't think even Ivanovic, like in the height of his FPL heyday, was ever a two-goal game clean sheet player.
I think he has. I think they were talking about these stats for Chelsea before. And Ivanovic has actually scored two goals in a game before. Clean sheet. Okay. Clean sheet, uncertain.
We'll have to go look at the stats or something. Look at box scores.
Before we get into all that, all the game week talk, Josh, I wanted to share a quick human interest story with you that comes from our listener, Jim Payne. And Jim said it was cool if I shared this on the pod. I meant to do it last week, but I'm such a busy guy, Josh. It slipped my mind.
Sure, all these trips to the Big Easy.
So Jim wrote us, and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" And he shares this story. This is Jim talking, Josh.
Uh-huh.
"My hearing has been bad for a while, not because I'm old, but the result of young men in the military and government service thinking they're invincible and not wearing the hearing protection provided when around loud explosions. This week, so I guess now we're talking like 2 weeks ago, my wife talked me into getting my hearing tested, and they outfitted me with a pair of Bluetooth-enabled hearing aids, which lets me stream directly from my phone into my ears. The doctor asked me to test it out with my phone, and the first voices I heard were from your latest podcast."
Wow, that's amazing.
It is kind of an amazing story.
I didn't see this email, and I'm very touched, Mr. Payne. Yeah. A Patreon supporter, no less.
Yeah, yeah. I know all of the Always Cheating listeners out there are near and dear to our heart, but that was really cool for Jim to share that.
Jim Payne was like our first fan, sort of, you know. He was like the first guy who like ever sent us like a tweet saying, "Hey, nice podcast." And we had like when you and I were the two listeners of the podcast. So yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Right. So game week 21, do we want to go through what our point totals were and the damage done or not done?
Not particularly. No, I don't care if I don't talk about my game week at all. So let's see. I got 10 points from Christian Eriksen to start the game week. It was a weird start to the game week because I got 10 and you had -3, and I was like, this could be a strange game week.
Yeah, the Macaulay own goal. It was not good.
And the yellow
card. I slept through most of that game, and it was not good news to wake up to.
Yeah. It wasn't a great week, and I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I mean, I have enough players who did well, and then I got a couple clean sheets, and I have Zlatan and Hazard and Eriksen, but just so many highly owned players that I don't own had explosive scores. And I mean, it was such a swingy game week that, I mean, it was, you know, it was possible for, it was the kind of game week that you really dream of, especially it wasn't a game week for differential options. I'll say that much. If you have a very strong team full of the the top performers, and I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory way. It was an amazing game week and very possible to have 100 points or more. If you don't have those players, or at least kind of all of them, right? Yeah, like, it, right. Then it was a pretty tough game week. I mean, yeah, it's the kind of game week where 75, you're kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing. I finished on 71 points, and I got a few red arrows. That's well above average. Average points for the week was 40, and
right.
It's hard to explain that one, because it looks like everyone ranked highly, did really well, was pushing 100 points or 90 around there.
It was a great week for managers who are really at like the top of their league. It was like if you're a manager in first, second, or third place in your league, you probably did even better this game week. Sorry, by the way, if you can hear a baby in the background.
My wife's so cute.
Yeah, my wife's putting the baby to sleep right now, so you might hear a little noise in the background from time.
That's the podcast verite that people come to always cheating right. for.
That's right.
So let's look at it this way, Josh. FPL Stato reached out to us on Twitter and says, does this season make you think more or less luck is involved in FPL success compared to previous seasons? So it's been very up and down week to week, and there have been a lot of decisions made with, I guess, without any hindsight that backfired for both of us anyway.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about luck this season? Or I mean, my feeling is there is luck every season, and this is it's just the way it goes. It's part of the game.
Exactly. It's you only remember the times when luck went against you. You know, it's when you have a lucky game week, or, you know, you're playing someone in a head to head and you win by 1 point because of a, you know, an assist that shouldn't have been credited your player. You know, like we've all benefited from good luck, and you immediately forget about it. But an unlucky moment can stick with you over 5 or 6 seasons. I mean, I can recall things like Gareth Bale braces on Boxing Day in 2013 that cost my team. You know, like it's like I can go so deep on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've had a lot of luck this year, and I think that every time I have taken a risk, it has completely blown up in my face.
Yeah.
So that's not fun. You know, it hasn't been a fun season for me. Doing the pod has been fun, and interacting with people has been a lot of fun, and talking about it. Everything about the season has been fun, except the performance of my actual team. And, you know, and whatever, you know, I mean, I'm sort of over it, you know, like I'm not over the game, but I'm just over having a bad season. It's just, I know that I'm capable of having really good seasons, and I've done it before, and it just looks like this isn't one of those years. And I, you know, I mean, like I could trot out excuses, but so could anybody else, you know? Yeah. So I think that this is a season where, I think it is a good season for people who are playing a very skilled game. I mean, you look at someone like Luke Shaw, you know, or not Luke Shaw, Luke Funshot, on Twitter, you know, and
Luke Shaw's having a terrible season. Let's be clear.
Very, very unlucky season. But, you know, someone like Luke Funshot on Twitter is, I mean, every week he is talking about, you know, the player he's going to bring in or why he's kept in this player. And he's invariably right, you know. He's made great decisions, and I feel like he might have captained Aguero like I did this game week. So, you know, but in general, I think there are a lot of managers, a lot of people on Twitter, and I mean, we could just run through or you know, or wherever, you know, Reddit and, you know, Facebook, whatever, who are like really thinking about the game and, you know, got on Chelsea defenders early, you know, got on Alexis Sanchez early, got on, you know, Matt Phillips and Junior Stanislaw and any number of players. So to say that luck is a bigger factor this year would be kind of unfair to those managers, I think. So, you know, what do you think?
I totally agree with you. For me, laziness actually benefited me more than luck this week, because we talked extensively about Nathan Ake last week and how I had 4 Chelsea players, and I was just kind of hemming and hawing, also enjoying a heck of a good time in New Orleans. And is that a different way of pronouncing it? And I didn't know what to do until the Diego Costa news broke, and I thought, perfect, I can get rid of a third Chelsea player who just happens to be Diego Costa. Now, right. Of course, we need to talk about this whole game coming up in game week 22, which we what are not.
Could, yeah.
It's not clear if Costa's going to play or not.
It was just such an easy solution that you didn't know if he was going to come back for Hull. I mean, it's still not clear if he is, right? So
yeah,
I would have done the same thing. I probably would have made the same move. I might have brought in Kane, but that might be his hat trick talking. You know, it's how it is when a player does really well in your head, you're like, I would have brought him in. That would have been the move I made.
I think I agree. And Kane was intriguing, but you just stack the fixtures. Well, you could have an argument about Kane being fixture proof, but you're looking at the upcoming fixtures for Spurs just immediately compared to Arsenal, and Giroud just looked much better. And now they have Burnley in game week 22, whereas Spurs are away to Man City. Now, Spurs clobbered Man City earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, the Man City game would have been enough. Oh, although, God, I mean, after that Everton game, I could do a whole podcast on that Man City-Everton game. I would happily I could do a week's worth of podcasts. I could do a daily podcast where I just talked from 9 a.m. like a work shift. I could do like a 35-hour, one-hour lunch break work shift where I just talked about how shitty Man City looked in that game.
It was bananas. I could
do it for 30-plus hours. It was totally bananas. That team hates to play together. I mean, I have never seen a group of players who loathe each other more than that Man City team.
They kind of always hated playing together, even when they were winning titles.
What happened to the Silva-Aguero connection? I mean, what happened to that whole team? It just looks ridiculous. And now you have Pablo Zabaleta as this, like, roaming midfielder. I mean, it was completely absurd. It made no sense. He sucked. I mean, he was – and, you know, Yaya Torre gave the – I said on Twitter, it was like he was setting the record for – I think it was 50 giveaways in the first half. I mean, every time he had the ball, it fell off his foot. I mean, he looked every single one of his 47 years in that game. So it was – it was not a fun match to watch, especially when every other manager, like every captain option, performed this week except Sergio Aguero. And it made me feel kind of dumb. You're like, come on, just captain Ibra or Christian Eriksen, or just why did I have to like take this out of form player and this team that hates playing together? I think you're prone to,
and other managers are thinking about this in game week 21, like, are you behind, how far are you behind, right? And now you're really zeroing in on what punts can really help you cover 100-150 points in your mini league. So
that was the thinking, certainly, but it's unfortunate for me that it blew up so comprehensively. And it was kind of even more annoying because like all those other managers were like, yeah, I wouldn't touch Aguero, the 10-foot pole, were like, yeah, this is why, you know, because he's looks completely washed up. I mean, he could barely keep the ball on his foot. You know, it's just the whole team was like, I don't know if they're practicing with like medicine balls or something. Like, it was.
Guardiola doesn't seem like the type of manager that really instills fun and team camaraderie.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to make of Pep's performance on the sideline there, where he was so disengaged.
They hate each other and they hate their manager. And it definitely showed in that match. I mean, they got destroyed by Everton's B squad. I mean,
Davies was like cutting through them like a knife. It was incredible.
Some 13-year-old never even heard of scored with like 4 minute of extra time. It was, I was watching this. I felt like I was going to throw up. That's how disgusted I was with this game. All right, let's move on. You know, right, that's
you're having a meltdown. So let's have an official always cheating meltdown of the week. This week it comes from Eric Forsh. He tweeted at us, said, score of 70 is great, except when you have Aspilicueta instead of Alonso in your team. That's got to be devastating. So you're trading Aspilicueta, like a rare non-bonus point game for Dave.
Devastating is a little strong. I mean, you still got the clean sheet. You know, it's only a 15-point difference. It's a lot, and it's not, you know.
it's a mini meltdown for Eric.
It's almost a humble brag. It's like right on the cusp.
And as everyone knows the rules, there are no humble brags allowed and always cheating social media thread or on this podcast.
You're allowed to brag. You just can't humble brag.
Right. All right. Well, let's brag. Let's do some real bragging for our Hail Cheaters Super League. You want to run through the top 10, Josh?
I will. All right.
Looks like we've got a 10. New number one here.
Yeah, we do have a new number one. Patrick Connolly, eat the Kapoo. with 94 points.
It's huge. I checked on Patrick's team. He is ranked 400 overall in the world.
Wow. So. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well done, Patrick.
It's amazing that 399 managers are able to do better, not by like, and they're not part of the podcast network. I mean, how do they do it, Brandon? Is it just they must be dead teams?
They're all dead teams, exactly.
Patrick Connolly is number one overall if you only count active managers.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two is a new Patreon supporter. Thank you, Bjart. Bjart Wath Helgeson, I hope I got close on that, Bjart. Reykjavik Runners, a fixture in the top 10 this season with 81 points. He's in second place. The Wire, Keelan McArdle, with 92 points in third. A-Team, Arshwan Botwal, another guy who's been hanging around the top 10 most of the year, in fourth. The Cuddly Koalas, David Fellheim. David, your pins are in the mail, is in fifth place. I don't know how long they're going to take to get there. Like, give it like, it's like international shipment. So give it like 6 weeks.
It's a slow boat.
We need a European vendor for the next round of these. Okay. Yozy G is in sixth. Creamy Brian O'Shea. I think it's a new name in the top 10, Brandon.
I would have remembered Creamy. I do not remember Creamy. Now maybe Brian changed his name.
And 50 Shades of O'Shea, which I like. It's not even really a pun. I just like it.
It kind of rhymes with gray, Josh. 50 Shades of O'Shea.
Well, I don't know. Maybe an Irish. Sean Mulhall is in eighth. Mitch Maynard, BTSTU, in ninth. And Juve Gott's friend, Keir Randall, is in 10th with 122 points. My
Dang,
God.
Son.
Well done. Well done indeed.
So what we're going to do in this episode of the podcast is kind of just a front-to-back look at all of the issues with strikers, midfielders, and defense. We've got a few teams, like notably Everton, with a great run of fixtures coming up, and it looks like they're finally in good form. And, of course, Spurs and Chelsea are forever in the front of our minds. So we'll talk about our teams back to front, and then we have a few other questions to get to. And that's your podcast. So we'll preview Game Week 22.
All right, let's do it. Same old podcast,
always cheating. All right, we're back. And Josh, let's talk about strikers. Eric Medbo on Twitter says, please help us make sense of the forward situation. It makes my head spin. So we touched upon Aguero, which is kind of turning into a blip at the moment. Like, people have immediately lost interest in him based on Man City's form. But I wanted to look at strikers, our top-tier strikers and our second-tier strikers, because we have some new guys in that third striker range that are coming into view now. So if I'm thinking about first tier, we have to pick between these heavy hitters, Ibra, Kane, Giroud, Lukaku, Aguero, and Costa. Now, there are big question marks next to a couple of those guys.
Right. And then, Costa, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and then
you go.
No, you go. And then second tier, Andy Carroll. Like, holy crap. One of the best bicycle kicks you ever hope to see over the weekend. I can see him coming into a lot of people's teams as a third striker. And Peter Crouch, if you're looking to play a 3-5-2 or a 4-4-2, maybe Peter Crouch is a good guy to stick on your bench at £4.8 million. And then Rondon, West Brom is one of these teams that has a crazy good run of fixtures coming up. And, of course, Defoe, you have to talk about Defoe. So, Josh, how are you feeling about strikers right now? Are you thinking about dumping Aguero right away after that disgusting performance?
Well, okay. I kind of want to. I feel like I have to play it out a little bit longer now. I mean, just given – I mean, so Spurs now, it depends on how much stock you put in historical performance. Historically, Aguero has done very well against Spurs. After they play West Ham and Swansea, I don't really know. I don't know what to do right now, actually. I mean, if you told me that – there was that, you know, that Diego Costa was back and ready to play by this Saturday, I maybe wanted to just straight up dump Aguero like immediately and just move Aguero to Costa for that whole match. As it is, I feel like I'll probably stick with him. I mean, I'd love to have him for the that Swansea match. And, it's hard to watch that. to see a team play as poor as Man City, as poorly as Man City, and the thought of owning any of those players is kind of off-putting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one assumes that they will not play this poorly all season. I mean, they had a great run from October, November. They didn't lose a match, I think. You know, it's like there's some stretch.
Jekyll, you know, there's a Jekyll and Hyde thing there too, because just the other week they demolished Hull in the in their cup match. I think 4-0 was the scoreline.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it's just hard to say. But I don't know how you could rank him above any of these. You know, certainly Ibra and Kane are sort of the two fixtures, like the two strikers who really seem to stand like a just head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, Ibra, because his form, he's been so consistent the last 10 game weeks or so. Kane, because he's had a couple explosive game weeks, but he's also about to enter a really great run. We talked about this a little bit last week, but after the Man City match, they have just a great run of fixtures that really goes on for about 13 weeks. I mean, right through like game week 34 or something like that. So you can really just have Kane and hold. And, you know, I right now only have one Spurs player. I have Eriksen, but I'm really thinking about sort of trying to triple up on Spurs players for the course of the next couple weeks. And,
yeah, me too. I have one. I had Walker for the first part of the season. And, yeah, I'm feeling very exposed at not having any Spurs players.
So I mean, I may be in a situation where I have to just play a wild card at some point soon. There's a great interview on the Fantasy Football Scout website with the current number one in the world. I shared it on our Twitter page and our Facebook page, but it's a great, I unfortunately can't remember his name, but it's the interview is fantastic. And he really talks about just thinking about each single game week's points and doing everything you can to maximize points in any particular game week, because, you know, in the end, it's the season goes by fast. And if you're always thinking five game weeks ahead and you're neglecting the current game week to plan for the long term, then you're just, you're ultimately costing yourself points in sort of in the totality of the season, by constantly putting tomorrow and, you know, in front of today. So, you know, but I think that idea applies to wild cards too, where I waited too long. Like, you know, last season I played a wild card, maybe game 33 or 34, and it was just too late for me to really come back and win my mini league that year, because there were only 5 weeks left in the season. You know, I would have needed to outscore the players above me by like 100 points, you know? And so the only way I could do that would have been to start 10 weeks before, you know, and wild card in game week 24 or 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was trying to maximize points in a little run of double game weeks instead of thinking about like a 14 week stretch of game weeks. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of as an aside, totally off topic here. So I think Ibra and Kane, so Costa, I guess you just have to put like a incomplete next to his name, right?
Yeah, because we need more news. James McCauley on Twitter says, what do we make of the Costa situation, hold or sell? And If you've held him through game week 21, you've got to hold him for that whole match. Just hold your transfer, because I think your whole game week could hinge upon Conte's press conference coming up. And if he says Costa and I are friends again, he's not going to China, he will play against Hull, then you'll be so happy you have him.
But
if he doesn't, I feel like Costa needs to be traded in stat for one of these informed guys. Now, let me ask you this. TJ on Twitter says, Kane or Lukaku? Say you're playing your wild card, or you're just making a striker transfer this week, Josh. Who are you going for?
Yeah, Kane, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, look at Everton's fixtures, though. They've got coming up Crystal Palace, Stoke, Bournemouth, Middlesbrough, Sunderland before they hit Spurs in game week 27.
If we're comparing, you know, Lukaku to almost any other player, then I would go with Lukaku. But comparing Lukaku to Kane, I like Kane's form. I like Kane's fixtures. And interestingly enough, I actually don't think that Kane is the most valuable player in his team, though. I think that in terms of fantasy, I think that the defenders, because of the price point there, I'd actually think if I was building up a Spurs team, like a fantasy team with Spurs players, I would think I would start with the midfield. I would bring in one of Eriksen or Ali, and then I'd bring in a defender. Then I'd bring in Kane. Maybe I don't know. I have to think this through a little more, but you're getting such good value for money right now. I mean, you can still get those Spurs midfielders in the 8.5 million range, and the Tottenham defenders aren't that expensive either.
No, they're not.
I mean, you know, Yeah, they're affordable. They're all like what, in the low sixes right now. I mean, even, you know, I mean, maybe, okay, let's see. I think Kyle Walker is maybe up to like 6'3" or something like that. But
you know, season at 5'5". It's incredible. He's been just accruing value over the whole season.
Yeah. Kyle Walker is 6.1. Danny Rose is 6 million. Toby Alderweireld is 6.3. I mean, these are just great buys. I mean, yeah. given the run that's happening right now, I think you absolutely need to have a Spurs defender. So, but I think that, you know, Kane is, he's part of that too. And I really think this team can win the league, actually. I mean,
interesting. Yeah. Interesting shout.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on what happens with Costa and Chelsea, but I mean, I love the way they play together, and you know, they kind of have the experience of last year where they were right there and they couldn't quite get over the hump, but that was a very young team and, you know, a little more experience. They don't have any depth, you know, and if they decide to take the Europa League seriously, then they're probably screwed because like someone will invariably pick up someone will Charlie Austin it basically, you know, last match and 20 minutes in, they'll pick up a, you know, dislocated shoulder or something.
Every title winning team has to have a dud fantasy asset. Like, Conte for Leicester last year. I think Victor Wanyama has really helped Spurs this season.
Yeah.
Kind of as an aside. All right, last striker question. I was made to immediately regret this Giroud transfer. Now, granted, Giroud scores a goal, but in classic Arsenal fashion, he makes you happy, but at the same time picks up a very mysterious injury. Were you watching this game where he scores the goal and instead of celebrating, he motions to the bench that he needs to be subbed out?
I did see that.
And then he proceeds to play the rest of the half and for
in the 59th minute, I know, he went out.
Glorious. And then, of course, Wenger is being really cagey about the extent of the injury. He said it doesn't look too bad. But an Arsenal player with an injury that doesn't look too bad could mean that they're basically an Abu Dhabi.
I know. I thought that was very weird overall. I really don't know what the story is with him.
Yeah, so I'm concerned. I think I might want to just shift Giroud out immediately. Maybe I gamble with Giroud this game week and then try to turn him into Kane for game week 23 when Spurs have Sunderland.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So, Giroud, I kind of feel for anyone who has him right now. I mean, if he's fit, then I think that looks decent for the Burnley game. Well, how are you feeling about Giroud?
Well, the problem with Giroud is that he was never, I suppose he became more of a consistent starter because he was doing so much for that team, but there was always a little bit of risk with him anyway. You know, I mean, Alexis Sanchez is the one player you really need to have on that team, and he might be the only player really need to have in that team, to be honest.
Right. So Tom Butcher says, would you take a hit to bring in Giroud, if fit, and Alexis for Aguero and Siggy? So if you're just saying Alexis is kind of like your, it sounds like Alexis is the must have of those four, Giroud, Alexis, Aguero, Siggy.
I don't think I'd bring in Giroud. I mean, if fit, for Aguero and Siggy,
maybe Lukaku and Alexis if the prices fit there.
Yeah, but that's Lukaku is almost a million more expensive, isn't he?
Yeah,
that might not be possible. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, to upgrade a Siggy to Alexis would be a huge move. I mean, assuming Alexis is even like on this team in a month, like I thought it was weird. Okay, so there was like a little bit. I guess I started like a little bit of a ruckus on Twitter. A couple of days ago, but somebody posted a photo of Alexis like basically hanging his head in disgust when he was pulled from a 4-0 match.
He pulled his jacket up over his head and wouldn't show his face.
He was pouting and stuff, and people were like,
"Sit in a chair." That was what frustrated me most. Sit in a chair, man.
People were like, "Oh, he's such a gamer. He's such a gamer." It's like, you know, like the guy they subbed on, you know, who did they sub on? I think it was like Lucas Perez. Like, what about Lucas Perez, man? Like, let the guy play 10 minutes. You already, you scored already. Like, you're up 4-0. Like, it is a team game. You know,
I have played, I guess, what most of our listeners would refer to as Sunday League, just like co-ed rec league soccer, like off on the pier here in New York. And there are guys on those teams where they won't even look at the sidelines because they're not coming off. That's their one day a week where they get to go out there and be a man. And, you know, if you get stuck on the sideline, you can't even get back in the game because these guys, they're just out there just to play themselves. And Alexis, you would not want to be on a Sunday league team with Alexis because you'd never get in.
Oh, you would never get in. No, I totally agree.
All right, so we're kind of transitioning to midfielders here as we talk. So let's move into topic number two, midfielders. Alexis Quintela has a good transition. He tweeted at us, stick with three premium strikers or two and have premium mids. So I'm intrigued more and more every week by the idea of moving to a two-striker formation. And yeah. You must be softening on this idea, Josh. All these midfielders stacking up, like Eriksen and Ali, and now Coutinho is back. Liverpool midfielders should be performing a little better.
I am softening on the 3-5-2 form. It makes a lot of sense, especially you know if Alexis will not leave a match until he scores, then it certainly makes him a
that
great.
That does seem to be the contingency. Like, if I score, you can. Well,
you can take me off. I won't like it, but you can take me off. So, I mean, yeah, and with Liverpool midfielders coming back, you know, especially with Coutinho, arriving, I would assume he'll start this weekend. He's ready to start finally.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, with Coutinho back, it should click that whole attack into place. So, yeah, I think that there's a, you know, decent, there's an argument for it. I mean, I think you could go with a more expensive, you know, three-man forward line too. I don't know. You know, I guess I'm a little torn in it. What about you?
I agree. I see it both ways. And it's going to depend on if I think Lukaku and Giroud can keep up their form. And if either of those guys can, then you can easily make that case for three premium strikers.
Yeah.
Like if you had Ibra, Kane, and Lukaku for the next month, I think that you'd be looking pretty good.
Right.
But I think more so share the concerns that I want Spurs midfield coverage, I want Liverpool midfield coverage, and I want Alexis, and I still have Hazard. Both of us have Hazard right now. And just leading into this midfielder discussion.
You want to have it all, Brandon.
So there seemed to be, even though I captained Sanchez here in game week 21, and that was fine. He somehow got three bonus points. After being largely invisible until he scored his goal. But people seem really aggravated by the non-explosive form of Hazard and Sanchez. Now, are you looking
at... Well, I mean Hazard, you know, I mean, this guy, it's all potential with him. What does he have, two goals and two assists in the last nine game weeks? I mean, he's done nothing, you know, and there's this idea that he's always just about to break out, you know, and it's like he keeps like feeding us these like little pebbles to like keep us going, you know, these like little taste of an Hazard performance, and then everyone's like no, I've got to obviously you got to hold him for a hole this game week, right? But then like 2 weeks from then you're like, well, obviously I've got to hold him for a way to Bournemouth, and you know, he just keeps, you know, continues to pick up like either 2 points or 6 points or three or, you know, very occasionally 10. I mean, he's not worth his price though.
I think we mentioned this before. Our friend Stephanie Anderson, who's in our private FPL league with us, she wrote about Hazard. He is like the two lines in the grocery store, and you keep switching the line to get in the faster one, but when you switch, the other line is moving faster, and that's just how
that's
Hazard
great.
Is that that's that perfect. Feeling that you can never quite get there. So Sushan on Twitter, speaking of midfielders, says stick with Ali or get Coutinho for a week. P.S. what do you think about the Sherlock finale? Are you a Sherlock fan, Josh?
I am, and I did see the finale last night.
I've only seen the first episode of the new season, so I'm not there
all
yet.
Right. I'll take the second question first. I enjoyed the Sherlock finale. It was almost too intense. It is not a funny episode of the show. It is like a harrowing, terrifying episode. I'm telling you, it is like the most intense Sherlock episode you've ever seen. So I enjoyed it. I thought that the second of the trilogy, I really liked the
more
Toby
more tense than when he shot that guy in the face at the end of the last season.
Yeah, I think so. I actually hate the ending of that. Like, yeah, that was the so least weird. Clever way to end it. Like, oh, he can't figure it out. Just shoot him in the face. And then have him feel bad about it for a year or whatever. It was like, so it's kind of weak. But no, this whole last season has been pretty solid. The middle one is my favorite though, with Toby Jones.
So. Toby Jones. Do you ever watch the show? We'll talk TV, Toby Jones all day. Have you watched The Detectorists? It's on Netflix, and it's this show about Toby Jones and the guy who plays the Garrett, I think, in the British Office.
Uh-huh.
And they just do metal detecting in this field off in the British countryside.
No, it sounds great, though.
It's funny and heartwarming, and I highly recommend everyone watch The Detectorist. Now, Ollie or Coutinho?
Yeah, to me, it's crazy that it would even be suggested. I mean, I like Sushant, but come on. I mean, Ali has 6 goals and 1 assist in the last 4 game weeks. I mean, you know, we don't really – I mean, you know, I get the value proposition, like, you know, sell high with Ali. Mm-hmm. But given the run of form that given their form and given the run of fixtures that Spurs have, I think you've got to stick with Ali.
Yeah, it sounds like Sushant is suggesting that maybe he goes Coutinho for 22 and Ali is going up against City. But if I remember correctly, it was the Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son show against City earlier this season.
Also, if I remember correctly, City's defense completely sucks. Yeah. So I don't know what he's worried about. That might be the weirdest defense in the league.
Claudio Bravo faces 4 shots and lets in 4 goals. I think that Everton was given strict instructions to shoot it hard and low. The man cannot get to his feet.
How can we be in the middle of January and they have not replaced any one of their 45-year-old fullbacks? Like, Gael Clichy is in his 60s, and
he looks pretty good for a 62-year-old man.
Bakary Sagna just got his AARP card in the mail. I mean, that guy he actually plays with a cane. I didn't even realize you could play with a cane. Like, he can be used as a weapon, but he dodders around in a cane. I mean, and then you've got Zabaleta, who is dead, and somehow he's still playing that
spot. It's like Weekend at Zabaleta's. They sort of like prop him up in the field like he's alive.
It's so weird. Yeah, so. Can you tell I'm a little down on this Man City team right now?
Yeah, I guess so. Freddie Brown on Twitter, he says, is Hazard basically Coutinho, i.e. should I swap Hazard out for him? If so, when? So it's more sort of Coutinho anxiety. And
I think I think you could swap Hazard out for Coutinho like once the next game week starts. You know, I mean, I don't. You really can't take out Hazard before this home fixture of Hull, right?
No, absolutely not.
My voice got very breathy there.
Oh, the Tigers, the Hull Tigers.
Home to Hull. You want every Chelsea player you can bring in, but I think after that, get rid of him. I mean, it's just not worth the money, you know. And for $10 million, you just need more than he's delivering, which is. Just, you know, 1 goal every 5 game weeks, you know, it's just not enough.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of freaking out about Pohl going into the Swansea match, but I think it remains to be seen what Liverpool is now, because they still are a ways from getting back to that lineup that was just murdering team after team. Because now, even though they have Coutinho back, they're missing Mane, who's at African Cup of Nations. So I think that you still aren't going to see that like that machine-like precision that they had earlier in the season just yet. So I'm not getting too excited about Coutinho just yet.
Doesn't it seem like this Liverpool squad is one player short? Like if they just find someone to play that striker role, then this team is. A league-winning team. I mean, I don't think it's. I don't think they can actually win the league this year. But I think next year they definitely could if they keep everybody. Because I don't even know who that would be. I mean, it could be like a. Can you imagine like Alexis Sanchez on this Liverpool team?
Oh,
with
God.
Like with other players, that'd be unbelievable. Insane.
They would be the fastest team on the planet. They also have a few defensive issues that they might need to work out. This Anderson was his name. Anderson, whoever 66 is, they.
Anderson, he's back in the league. I loved Anderson.
Yeah, Fat Anderson from Manchester United. No, this is really young guy. He was playing right back for Liverpool. He did not look good at all against United.
I don't think that was Fat Anderson. The guy's not even on the team. I don't even see him on here. Alexander Arnold?
That's the guy. Yeah. See, I was in the ballpark. All these A names.
Trent Alexander Arnold is his name.
All right. So other options for your midfield. The transfer window is still open, Josh. It's ongoing. Are you making any moves?
This game week?
No, I'm just saying, like, is your club looking to bring in anybody in the transfer window? I'm joking. In Potchwood, Trust sent us a message about some midfielders that have been shifted around during this window. So Morgan Schneiderlin on Everton. These are all fifth midfielders, right? So bench fodder. Schneiderlin, Cleverley, who made a move to Watford, another interesting chapter in the life that is Tom Cleverley's. And Joey Barton, priced at 4.5 mil at Burnley.
Okay, Barton, no. Cleverley, no. Cleverley, because he kind of sucks, but he also can't stay healthy. Barton, because he's older than a Manchester City fullback. And Schneiderlin, I kind of like at 4.6. Yeah, like if you're wildcarding, you know, and like Everton had like a double game week coming up or something, wouldn't you like to have Schneiderlin as your fifth?
Yeah, he was a fifth midfielder for me many seasons ago, back in the pomp of his Southampton days. And, you know, he collects an odd goal here or there. And in that particular system he was playing in, he was able to get forward. He looked a little rusty when he subbed on into that City game. But
yeah.
I do see them. I'm wondering how they shifted around for Schneiderlin. Does that mean that
thinking the same thing?
Does Gareth Barry take a seat? I mean, Barry has had a pretty good season, all things considered. He's been one of their better midfielders.
Do you play him a little further forward? Maybe. I mean, I mean, could he play as like more of a number? I don't think they would actually play him as like a Ross Barkley, you know, kind of number 10 or something like that. But I don't know. Like, I think they could play him more like further forward. I think he's got the ability.
He's the Etienne Capoue that Everton fans have always wanted.
At 4.6 million, though, you don't need much. You know, you need a player who can occasionally fill in for you. And I think he had like a brace at Southampton one game week, didn't he? Like, I feel like he's capable of scoring goals.
He's a real Marcus Alonso.
He is real Marcus Alonso.
Just speaking of Capoue, though, that Middlesbrough game, the burger, Capoue could have had a hat trick in that game. And I think he's just true to form there as a bench midfielder. Couldn't get it done. It was really frustrating for all of us who have been suffering with Capoue for the last 2 months.
I think he's almost down to his original price again. I think he's at 4.7 million. What a rise and fall for Capoue. I mean, I think he was up to like 5.4 million at one point.
Any money I have made this season, I have like almost I've lost all of it. I'm almost like in the hole. I think my team value is like 72 right now.
Yeah, FPL, it's like the house, right? It's like it always wins in the end. It doesn't matter how much you're up. Something's going to happen and you're going to lose all your value. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to topic number three, our final topic, defenders.
Game week 21 was the week of defenders. Premium defenders like Alonso going bananas. And then you had like your pickup, your transfer this week was Colin Chambers, which you talked about in last week's pod. And he ended up getting a cleanie and a bonus for you. So the budget defenders were doing it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled with 4.4 million, 7 points. It was a perfect transfer. I took out a player who, you know, wasn't playing and won't play for a couple of matches. I'm like walking a real tightrope right now because I really need Alan Yam to get clearance from Cameroon to play. I mean, what are they doing to that? What is going on with that country? Like, it's. You'd think Donald Trump was the president or something. I mean, complete mess over there. So I don't know what the deal is. Also, I'm not really sure. If you don't get selected from your team, why the hell do you need FIFA clearance to play for your squad? Like, I'm sure they didn't select him because he didn't want to play for the squad, but he's not in their Akon squad. So Why can't he play for West Brom? It doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I don't quite get it myself. I guess it's all rules just to keep players from basically giving the V to their national team so they can make money. So
right, like that's some kind of crime.
Or like FIFA wants the best players to be at their tournaments, therefore they have to instate all these crazy draconian rules to keep the best players at those tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, I know the African Cup of Nations has been around forever, and it's like the oldest international tournament, but they do hold it in the middle of a season. You know, sure. It's like in the middle of like every, you know, I don't
that's
know.
Gonna
I
mean, be I know, the World I know Cup it's, in about 8 years.
Yeah, that's true. And I know it's their summer. I mean, I don't mean to be like totally culturally, you know, insensitive here, but just come on. Like, you don't name your squad. Let him play for his team for the sake of my own personal fantasy team, if nothing else.
All right. Before we talk about some of these other defensive options, I really feel like you're on a roll here today, Josh. And Gabriel Marchetti, I think this is Gabriel Marcotti's cat, actually tweeted at us. Says, my friend is encouraging me to get Zabaleta. Would you give in to peer pressure, or should I just eat this friend?
Eat your friend. Yeah, eat your him. Friend like a piece of cake in a Lewis Carroll story.
I think I have to tack on the Weird Al Yankovic song at the end of this podcast. Just eat it.
No, you can't bring in Zabaleta because you don't know if he's going to play with any kind of consistency. I mean, is he going to keep playing in the? I was talking. I wish I could remember who it was on Twitter. I feel bad because he's someone we talk to a lot on Twitter. But
do you want to pause and look it up?
No, it's okay. But, you know, he's basically playing in the, like, Aaron Ramsey role. How is it even possible? I mean, this team has Nolito. They have Jesus Navas. I mean, unless there are, like, a bunch of injuries I'm not aware of.
Fernandinho would be the guy I think that he's filling in for, though. Yeah, he's the guy. It's sort of like a double pivot with Yaya. But Zabaleta was just getting up so far.
Sané couldn't play in that role, or
Nolito.
Yeah, I know Nolito is more of a forward, but maybe you rejigger your attack. I don't know. How in the world that seemed like the best idea is just crazy to me. Like it's like he's given up on the season, and he's just experimenting with different formations for next year or something.
For just a white paper that Pep is putting together, he's just experimenting for the sake.
He's coming to the Sloan Sports Conference this summer, and he wants to be on different formations. All right.
So Eric, who are the must own defenders for you right now? Maybe they're just clubs where you feel like you need ownership.
That's a good question. Okay, well, I think so. Let's go two high and one low. So I think we could probably even have a consensus here. I think that you need a Spurs defender. You need a Chelsea defender. Those are the only two teams that, I mean, even Man United, I'm not quite as sold on their defense. Mm-hmm. So I think Spurs and Chelsea, and then those are mine at least. And then in the lower tier, I might actually go with Middlesbrough. You know, their team is playing in the Leicester model, right? They're just going to nil-nil their way to safety this year.
And their run of fixtures coming up, it's West Ham, West Brom, then they have Spurs in game week 24, but then after that's Everton, Palace, Stoke. It's not bad. And for guys like George Friend and Callum Chambers, who are sub 4.5 defenders and nailed on, you've got to like that value.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the Chelsea Spurs call. I mean, we would always dabble with Arsenal defense, but that's just never paid off this season.
Yeah.
They've got Burnley and Watford both at home in the next two game weeks, and you know, if you are on a wild card, maybe Bellerin is meant to be back from injury. I saw a Dinnery tweet that he's going to be back. So that'll shore up their defense a little bit. But still, they've been very leaky this season.
They've been very leaky this season. I mean, I have Monreal, my team still, and, you know, I mean, the guy doesn't pick up like any bonus points, but I got the six. I like the fixtures. I'm not going to drop him imminently, but he'll certainly be out of my team by game week 24, 25, I would say. Yeah. 20, I guess 25, they're home to Hull. So
that dude is one of the strangest players in the Premier League.
Like, Monreal?
Yeah, Monreal. It's just an odd fit for that Arsenal team. And he's Like, he seems competent, but he never seems that good. I don't know.
I know. He wears his sleeves really long, like he's like one of those running, like it's weird the way they hang off the end of his arms, and then he'll get great positions, like right in front of goal, and then it's just some of the worst crosses you'll ever see. I mean, just crosses to the opposing team's goalkeeper, just again and again and again. I mean, the connection, the mind meld that he has with the hands of the opposing teammate's goalkeeper is amazing. I mean, it's really Vulcan-esque. It's very it's terrific.
there is a Vulcan quality to Monreal. All right, El Magico tweeted at us. He's got a formation issue, which we were talking about earlier. He asked 3-4-3, 3-5-2, 4-4-2. With the likes of Alonso, Walker, Rose, Baines, or Daniels, playing four at the back is compelling. So he does mention Baines here, and we did not bring up Everton in our list of kind of must-have defenses, but Everton has a great run with Palace, Stoke, Bournemouth, Berger, and Sunderland in the next five game weeks. So why not?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, sure. I mean, Funes Mori, I guess he's. I'm looking at his minutes played. It's not. So he's missed a couple of games, or I guess he hasn't started a couple of games.
Yeah, Jagielka would be slotting in for him, and I feel like Koeman is trying to gently nudge Jagielka out of the squad because he has had having a terrible season, but he's so important to that club, I think, as the captain, that they don't want to just drop him John Terry style.
Right. If Funes Mori were able to lock down that role, then I like him a lot at 4.6 million. And Ashley Williams is 5 million. I mean, Baines is not bad value at 5.5 million. I had him during like a run where he couldn't keep a clean sheet earlier this season. So maybe I'm not as high on him, but I don't know. I think I don't see the defense as essential. That's for sure. I mean, I do. And, you know, I understand the appeal of Baines because he's on penalties, but I don't know. I wouldn't be like burning forward or bringing an Everton defender.
Yeah, Eric Medbo on Twitter says, is Robles back for good? Now, speaking of Everton, Robles has had, he's been starting in goal the last four matches for Everton.
Yeah.
And let's see, he's priced at 4.7. That's just not quite cheap enough for me to mess around there, because I think Stecklenburg was out with an injury, and Coleman, he loves Stecklenburg, as we all know.
Yeah, and you just know there's going to be some match where Everton concede three, and suddenly Stekelenburg's back in that squad. So, I for good, it's impossible for us to say. So I assume he's. I don't know. If I were to guess, I'd say no, he's not back for good.
Yeah, but back to El Magico's question about formation. I was thinking about this 3-5-2 versus 4-4-2. If you were looking at going with two premium strikers. And I have to say, like, I would go 3-5-2 every time. There's just so much uncertainty with defenders week to week, whether they're going to keep a clean sheet or get any points at all. So 3-5-2 is just the safe bet. And, you know, looking at a guy like Charlie Daniels on Bournemouth, it's not a reason to do four in the back in my mind.
What about a 4-3-3? That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Four defenders, three midfielders, three top forwards, and then two cheapies at the end, like a Junior Stanislaw and Morgan Schneiderlin. That would maybe work. And then you could have, like, who would you want in your, like, in a three-man midfield? You want Alexis Sanchez, you'd want a Spurs midfielder, and you'd want a Liverpool midfielder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do, like, say, Sanchez, Lallana, Eriksen.
Right,
or Sanchez, and then Coutinho, Eriksen, or Ali. And then you,
and then you could have like one or two Spurs defenders, one or two, like not four of these players, but one or two Man City defenders. Man City, no,
no,
I misspoke.
I'm gonna have to eat you if you keep talking about Man City. Yeah, Man City.
You could have like Phil Jones, Marcus Alonso, Leighton Baines, and Danny Rose or something like that. And that would be kind of a cool team, actually. And then you have Ibra, Kane, and Lukaku as your forward line.
All right, somebody out there, try it. Try this avant-garde team structure and tell us if it works or not.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure if that money works at all, but I think it would. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Sorry, Magico. That your question is too complicated. I need like a slide to like figure out these different permutations.
All right, so we did it back to front. Strikers, yeah. Midfield, defenders. I'm feeling like we've got the lay of the land here.
We've got a few miscellaneous questions here. Let's just take one. Let's take one of these four, Brandon.
Oh, okay. I like this.
I was cheated and just picked one myself. Go ahead.
Well, maybe I'm going to pick the same one. Krosif on Twitter asked, worst best haircuts of FPL players?
That is what I was going to pick.
I was actually thinking about this weekend, watching the magical Tom Davies have just like an en fuego, on fire performance against Man City. But he does have the worst haircut, this like... Like, it's the most awkward length for long hair. You kind of look like a girl. And he has this, like, this really crappy beard that he's got going on.
Yeah, he looks like a character in the movie Everybody Wants Some, the Richard Linklater movie that came out last year.
Like, he probably shows up to practice with, like, a giant, like, Sony Walkman and those, like, foamy headphones to listen to his
Have you seen that yet, tape. By the way? I love that movie. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, it's good. I like Leroy Sané's haircut a lot. I think he looks pretty cool.
He does. He's got a treasure troll, like a cool-ass treasure troll thing going on.
Yeah. I don't like Kevin De Bruyne's hair at all.
No, he's got to do something with that. Though I think Raheem Sterling on Man City, he's gone through many different hairstyles, but I think he's got the best version going right now. It's like he's trying to see how high he can get his hair to go. And I want him to keep going.
We're dancing around the obvious question here, Brandon. There's an elephant in the room. That elephant, Olivier Giroud, is his hair cool or is it uncool?
I think his hair is cool. I think he's got a pretty good thing going with the hair and the beard.
I think it says something about you that you think his hair is cool. It says something.
Like I'm a metrosexual or something like that.
I'm just saying. I don't like it because I think he's trying too hard. It doesn't work for me. I want my players to have hair like the anonymous defenders on Bournemouth. I don't even know what they look like.
Alexis Sanchez has this non-haircut, and there are days where he's on the pitch and it looks like he slept with a hat on. He's got a little bit of bedhead going on. He doesn't care, and I think that's great.
I know I don't like Mesut Ozil's haircut. I'll say that much. I don't think I like the haircut on any of the Arsenal players, to be totally honest. Bayern's hair looks kind of dumb.
Yeah. I don't like the whole new look that he's going for. Mustafi kind of has like a workman-like haircut.
Okay, Mustafi's hair I don't mind. Okay, we should move on.
What about Peter Cech? He just wears a hat. He cuts through all the nonsense.
Yeah, that's true. That's more hats. He broke through to the other side, Peter Cech.
All right, this is insane. We should take a quick break. We'll come back and we can preview game week 22 with captains, clean sheets, and our potential transfers for the week.
Great. Same old podcast, always cheating. Game week 22. It's kind of strange, a little melancholy because it's the last game week for like the following week. There's another round of FA Cup matches, and then there's like a round of midweek fixtures after that. It's like I want a normal stretch again. You know, I don't want things to be so weird all the time.
Yeah, it has been like nothing but weirdness for most of the season. We're just coming out of like the jam-packed festive fixtures and all that crap.
Yeah, and there were some midweek December games there even before that. So, all right. But we got an interesting game week. We got a real this game week could produce some pretty high points totals as well. I think it's a lot of very good teams are home to very bad teams.
Yeah, Sunday in particular is looking like a big one with Arsenal at home hosting Burnley and Chelsea is hosting Hull. So, I think those are the captain options right there, Arsenal and Chelsea. I mean, Ibra away to Stoke. Lee Grant, one hell of a goalkeeper. I wouldn't put money on United scoring against Stoke, but
I think you could bet on him scoring almost any game week right now. But yeah, I think if I were okay, so my, let's
oh,
go.
Also,
let's go.
Liverpool playing against yeah, you run through the
that too.
For
yeah,
us,
yeah. So we've got a clean sheet pick, Brandon. I'm going to pick a Liverpool clean sheet at home to Swansea.
Oh, wow, Simon Mignolet getting his clean sheet bonus.
Honestly, I could have picked like four different teams here. I mean, what's your pick?
Yeah, I was trying to not pick Chelsea or right. Arsenal.
Me too. Yeah.
I have some inkling that United might keep a clean sheet away at Stoke. So
that's possible. I think that Southampton could keep a clean sheet hosting Leicester.
Oh, God. Southampton suck. Yeah, that's me being a burned Cedric Suarez owner. But they they are in relegation form right now.
Yeah, that team's a bit of a mess right now.
Though Leicester is
tons of injuries and want away defenders. It's not a and they've traded away so many players. It's just not a good time to be.
I'm
a
so confused.
Southampton
that,
supporter.
Virgil van Dijk was the one picked to be taking off, and it looks like maybe he's just better at not showing his hand, unlike his counterpart Jose Font.
No, it's so weird. Why not wait till the end of the year? It's like the same thing with Dimitri Payet. Like, wait 4 months, guys. Like, come on. Like, you can't tough it out through May. Like, your teams are not doing very well. Like, why don't you? I don't know.
Where are they gonna Payet, who's so
That's such a disgusting story. I'm so.
What does he think that he's going to go to United and slot into that midfield? I mean, he could, but
yeah. I mean, yeah, he's just on a team that sucks, and he wants to get out. And you know, he signed a 4-year contract extension last year. I mean, come on, like I know contracts don't mean anything in the league, but let's not pretend that you're leaving for any reason other than not wanting to be on a squad that isn't going to compete for anything this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's it just seems like a slightly dishonorable to me, and would really leave them in the lurch if he left.
Yeah. Okay. So it looks like Liverpool and United are our clean sheet picks, but obviously Arsenal and Chelsea look very, very good favorites there. Captains, I am thinking about Hazard for this week. Now, I've got Sanchez and Hazard both in my midfield, but I feel like I'm feeling like Chelsea might just steamroll these guys.
I'm leaning towards Hazard as well, actually. I think he's maybe the best. You could argue that the problem is it's hard to know which Liverpool player to pick.
Yeah.
Given that Coutinho is just back right now, given that Firmino hasn't done too much.
Lallana might be the easiest pick there, but he's just not a captain option, I feel.
And he's battling an injury right now too, right? So he might so he might not play either. I think Hazard is the way to go there, but you know, I think you could go with Ibra, you could go with Sanchez, and you know, I think this will be fine. I mean, honestly, I think maybe a Spurs player.
Sure, why not?
Even a Mance. Yeah, I mean, that would be a bit of a maverick move, but you've seen nothing from this Man City defense. Think that they can stop Spurs from scoring a couple of goals.
Yeah, the Spurs game comes at a terrible time for City. I mean, if they get stonked by Spurs, it's just going to be huge problems for them.
Yeah. Transfers, I probably have to burn four this game week. I have to start getting rid of some dead weight.
Yeah.
The Benteke thing, you know, complete disaster. And I just held on. You know, I kind of went against my rule, which is something I talked about earlier this season, a new rule that I settled on when I held on to Raheem Sterling for too long earlier this season, which is just that if you've got a mediocre player, you can't hang around for the fixtures to get better. You just got to dump them, you know, if they're in bad form, because mediocre fixtures don't fix mediocre players. They, you know, they're still mediocre. And I mean, Benteke, I mean, the guy is like, he's clearly favoring his shoulder. He like wouldn't jump for balls, you know, like he was basically playing with his feet, you know, nailed to the ground. And Benteke that isn't jumping and trying to get headers, it's not very valuable.
That's no Benteke that I want to know.
Yeah. So Benteke and Sigurdsson are probably going to go. And I just have to figure out whether I want to bring in like a Lukaku type, or if I want to actually bring in a cheap, like a, and really like commit myself to with, you know, a a 3-5-2 or maybe the 4-3-3. Maybe that's like the way for me to go. The only problem there is I need to make a lot of moves. That for me to have a 4-3-3, that's like six moves. Like it might be like a wild card situation.
Right. Yeah, I got the sense that you were talking yourself into that earlier in the pod.
No, I just think it's interesting. Yeah. You know, this is my problem is that like I'm more intrigued by doing things that are interesting than I am by like being that like by scoring as many points as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And it's costing me points.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe next year I just try to score as many points as I possibly can again. And I stop trying to be,
it's less an art project, more just a game.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your move?
Yeah. My transfer this week is basically me just deciding what kind of team I want to have. I have a few issues that I was hoping to sort of, make headway in dealing with this past game week. And when the Costa thing came up, I was planning on actually burning some points last in game week 21, which I ended up not doing because I just couldn't figure out what to do, where to go.
Yeah.
And so now here I'm looking at maybe shipping Origi and figuring out what I want this team to look like in game week 23. Basically, I need to start making room for Spurs players. Priority is Ali Eriksen, Kane, and a Spurs defender. And so just figuring out how to rejigger my team to make that work. And the Lukaku is a plan B for strikers.
Right, because he's so much cheaper.
So what am I going to do this week? It's probably not going to be sexy, and it's just going to be trying to move some cash around to free me up going into game week 23. And I suspect I'll be burning points, too, to make that happen.
Yeah, me too. I think it's worth it, though, in this case. I mean, at some point, you just have to start getting rid of those underperforming players, you know, and if it takes 4 points to do it, then it does, because otherwise you're just going, you're just holding on with these 2 points game week in, you know, game week in, yeah, game week out.
I would suggest that this is a good week to burn points, particularly if you have Arsenal and Chelsea assets, because they, or Liverpool for that matter, like you could be getting a lot of points from those key fixtures that should free you up to like to burn some points and not totally crucify yourself in your mini.
Yeah, I mean, if Costa, you know, says I'm healthy, I'm recommitted, I'm ready to play, suddenly Costa is kind of a differential option. I mean, I know his ownership is still crazy high because, you know, there's like the people who listen to FPL podcasts and there's everybody else, right? And like,
yeah,
who was like the most captain player this game week, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that, I think a lot of people still have him, but I think that, a lot of smart, savvy managers who are probably at the top of your mini leagues probably don't have him right now. And, so, you know, if he does play, then he's an interesting caption option, but I don't actually know how I'd be able to bring him in. I would have to drop Aguero to do that, which honestly I'm fine with, but then I'm like burning eight and I don't know, you know, that's too much. So
it is curious.
So
we'll, I mean, the whole fixture is huge for this discussion, but then in game weeks 23 and 24, it's Liverpool and Arsenal. So, I mean, maybe you can live another week without Costa and start planning to bring him in game week 25 when they've got Burnley, Swansea, West Ham coming up.
It's true. We'll have more, you know, we'll know more about that squad by then too. So,
yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
Yeah, there we go. Game week 22.
Brandon, people can find us. Oh, we hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I kind of talked myself into a better mood, Brandon, as I said to you offline a moment ago. I was starting to, 90 minutes of FPL talk really cheered me up a little bit. So
I'm glad
we did it.
I'm glad that us and the, that me and the Always Cheating community could do that for you, Josh. Cause
cheating.
You do that for thousands of people yourself week to week.
Well, you know, the community is great, and Facebook and Twitter and emails and everything. It's really awesome. And hopefully people enjoy it themselves. Yeah. So if you enjoy it, you know, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes. You can leave us a review. That'd be great. But just subscribing and telling your friends is what we'd like the most. So you can find us on SoundCloud. That's kind of that's where all the podcasts, that's what's sent out. That's kind of the home for us. We're also on Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, and TuneIn.
I like that. If you want the podcast at its hottest, like fresh out of the oven,
like seconds
SoundCloud after, is where it's going to happen. Yeah, and you can also follow us on social media where you can participate in that community that Josh was just talking about. Find us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Facebook, it's facebook.com/alwayscheating, or send us an email if you have some lengthier thoughts. It's hailcheaters@gmail.com. Also, we should mention, don't forget to join the Hail Cheaters Super League, where we have more than 1,000 FPL managers competing every week. You can still join. It's never too late. The league code is on our website, alwayscheating.com, and on all of our social media. And support the podcast. Support us at patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. And that's where we invite our listeners to help us offset the cost of doing this podcast week on week. We have a special mid-season league that you can join retroactively if you subscribe to our Patreon page. And we have extra goodies that come out periodically, like bonus podcasts or the pins that we're mailing out and all that stuff. It's much appreciated, everyone who's donated.
We actually added 4 new patrons in the last week, which is fantastic. So thank you to all of you and to Brent Nunkus, Daniel Sherwood, Gabriel Castellanos, and Bjark Wolf Helgeson. Much appreciated, guys, and thanks to everyone else who's pledged to support the podcast.
Awesome. All right, Josh. Hail Cheaters.
Hail Mobakani.
Have mercy.
Is there another one? I was on the Patreon page.
No, I think that'll do it. See you next week.
All right. See you next week.